Parents and grandparents are concerned about their family members. Go ahead and listen up right now. I'm about to drop some helpful stuff. So I had some good parents, but I was still a bad kid. Bad crowd, wrong crowd, and it led to me experimenting with drugs and alcohol way too early and way too hardcore. And I ran away from home and worried my parents to death. And then when I came back, I was even worse and ended up getting kicked out. And, a lot of my family was just like, getting to that super exasperated point where we're like, the next phone call we're going to get is going to be about how our son died.
Can I ask, what drugs were you experimenting too much with?
Name them at the time, everything but heroin. I was more addicted to being high. I was a really angry kid and super bored. Didn't have a lot of outlets. I just had some issues that I got worked out once I joined the CCC. What they say about just like going outside and being in nature and how that's therapeutic. That's kind of the default of the California Conservation Corps. And so when I joined the CCC and I'm out in the mountains and I'm planting trees, that was like the first therapist.
It's that thing that more and more research is finding, that outdoor time, they're finding that the smartest animals in the animal kingdom also happen to be those that roughhouse a lot, and they have a lot of physical mm-hmm. activity. Outdoor space, green space, Shinrin-yoku, blue space, all these things intersect with positive mental health. And like, you seem to be a living lab of that exact research.
In my personal experience, it's absolutely true. The outdoors, the default of where we're at, being the biggest contributing rehabilitation factor. And it was for me when I was 18. And then also I had supervisors and staff members who recognized that I had a drug and alcohol problem and immediately sent me into NA. And then being an NA and a very young person in an NA full of 30, 40, 50, and 60-year-olds was also very helpful to me.
You ran away. You got thrown out of your own house. You go to NA.
Dropped out of high school, yeah.
But through it all, you've loved animals. Like, it was spotted owls, right? That was your sort of entree into that world?
Yeah, when I joined the California Conservation Corps, it's kind of interesting. I was in Ukiah during Redwood Summer. So I was there kind of near the hub and the epicenter, like Betty Ball at Mendocino Environmental Center. And she was wonderful. And I know a lot of the old school environmentalists who are listening, their ears just perked up because I heard Betty Ball's name. She was amazing. She immediately recruited me to helping her with recruiting young people to be part of Redwood Summer, Earth First Redwood Summer. And I got this like crash course lesson in conservation activism. I listened to Judy Berry and Daryl Turney speak many times during those years. And so that's how I got involved in conservation activism. And that kind of transformed as I went through school. It went from the protest form of activism to the education form of activism. And I got more into natural resource interpretation, environmental education.
Last time you were on KHSU for an interview, you were on Thursday Night Talk. You were talking with Ruby Jean Rodriguez of Latino Outdoors about diversity and inclusion on the outside. And it seems like it's those early experiences when you look around the room and you see a bunch of like old white people. And like, what sort of goes through your head at that moment? Walk us through that.
Well, I'll tell you, I love my humble people. I'm going to tell you guys a story here that has a lot to do with Arcata, actually. I was recently in the documentary People of Color in Wild Spaces.
Yeah, with Teresa Baker in Yosemite. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll put a link up to that in the web clip for this.
I have a little short part. And in that part, I say, if everybody in your group is trying to save, an animal, a wildlife species, if everybody in that group is white and gray, then whatever you're trying to protect has an expiration date. And that's why we need to diversify. And the reason why I said that is because when I was 22, one of the seven times I've lived in Arcata area, but everybody there was very old compared to a 22-year-old. To 22-year-old, everybody was like way older than my parents, grandparents' age. And they were all white. And I thought, wow, everybody is older and white. Like, and I thought, we better hurry up and protect. I think it was the spotted owl we were talking about. We need to hurry up and save the spotted owl before all you guys die, because this animal's going to go extinct. Because I don't see anybody here to take up the charge. That experience really stuck with me. And I thought, I better do more to get more young people, more people of color involved. And there was a feeling of exclusivity that wasn't purposeful. Like the people there weren't trying to be exclusive. We just tend to speak to our experiences and invite people who are familiar to us and assume that other people, if they wanted to participate with us, they would just be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there wasn't a strong recruitment effort, and not because the people were bad, but just because they didn't realize they were being exclusive. And I think that's true across the conservation movement all throughout the United States. And so I wanted to fix that. And I found through that desire, that motivation, there was a lot of other people already working on it. And so that's how I met Teresa Baker, Rue Matt from Outdoor Afro. That's how I met Jose from Latino Outdoors. And I have been collaborating with them and supporting their awesome work and, you know, jumping in there to help them wherever I can, whenever I can. And it's been really good. And we have, and then also it's really good because California Conservation Corps, we're very, very diverse. We look like everybody in the CCC, gay, straight, trans, every race, religious, like you name it, we got it in CCC. And by partnering with a lot of these groups and working with a lot of these people, it's been really good for core members. And so core members have experimented in the outdoors in several different capacities and are finding homes in places they feel the most comfortable. And in groups, they feel the most comfortable so they can do conservation work. They can go outdoors and they can do it in a way that's familiar to them and places that they feel included. So it's been wonderful, this whole experience.
You've got a lot of passion for the outdoors in general and expresses itself in various ways, which now include wild jobs. And
wild jobs.
The first ever digital show for Animal Planet. When did you start shooting this thing?
In wild jobs, I spend one day with a person who has dedicated their lives to animals. So these are people who have really, like, almost to the point, like one time I spent a lot of time at Humboldt Wildlife Care Center, Birdell IX, because I love the kind of people that wildlife care centers attract, the volunteers. You know, at Humboldt Wildlife Care Center, you know, they've pretty much taken a vow of poverty to do the work they do. And that's what I've seen across the board with wildlife care centers and wildlife hospitals. And a lot of these times these people are well qualified to have high paying jobs and they've said no to that so they can help wildlife. So they're wonderful people. They're really easy for me to talk about, and they're featured on my show Wild Jobs.
Is there a moment in Wild Jobs, and I know that you love all your episodes equally, but like, is there one moment that you can point to where during the recording you just thought to yourself, I can't believe I get to do this?
There are several. It kind of depends on the emotion. There was one point where I'll admit this to my humble audience only, maybe, but there was one point I almost cried. There, the woman who Ellie Phillips, she read somewhere that horses were being sold to slaughter to make horseshoes in Japan. They're being rounded up on BLM property. And she had the resources to fly to, I think it was Nevada, she said, and buy 200 horses that had already been sold in an auction and were actually being loaded up in the trucks. And she, like, bought them all. And then she needed some place to put them, so she bought a ranch. And it's Montgomery Creek Ranch. And she moved those horses out there, and the older ones get to live on this incredibly beautiful ranch. There was a point in the show with her that I almost cried. Like, here comes 200 horses stampeding by us in this beautiful ranch, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, every one of those horses were on their way to being on a plate, and she brought them to be wild and free on this ranch. What an amazing human being that she cared and she had that much empathy and compassion. It's really refreshing when you see people who have a lot of resources, use those resources to make the world a better place and express, you know, empathy and take compassionate action.
We've been talking with John Griffith. He's essentially a local. He's currently living in Ukiah. He's the host of Animal Planet's Wild Jobs. You can find a link to that at khsu.org. I was going to ask, there's 10 episodes already in the can. You're saying there's more. Is there a shoot schedule coming up, or what's the future of the program?
So I haven't heard what their future plans are with Wild Jobs, but I know that there's more episodes they can release. I believe that we need to talk more about these people. I think we need to give these people a larger platform. And even the locals, like, I would highly, highly, highly recommend and encourage people to support Humboldt Wildlife Care Center, Bird Ally X. If you watch my episode about wild care and Ojai Raptor Center, the folks at Humboldt Wildlife Care Center are doing the exact same thing. So if you watch those two episodes, you will have a good idea of what Humboldt Wildlife Care Center, and they're just right there by Bayside on the Jacoby Creek Land Trust property. And they do the same thing for Humboldt Wildlife that you will see in the episodes, and they can really use your support. They're not getting paid a whole lot, and they're not government funded.
Well, when looking back on the things we've talked about, shout out to NA, shout out to the CCC, shout out to fawn rescuers and wild horses, and shout out to Bird Ally X and Humboldt Wildlife Care Center. I'll just give a shout out to you, John Griffith. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Take care.